You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Mike, let's start with the wet weather that has been around in the northern and northwestern part of the Corn Belt for some time. It's been other places as well, which has made the start to the growing season really, really good. But there are places that have been flooded. What kinds of things do you see across the whole of the Corn Belt, and especially in the northern parts of Iowa, south central parts of Minnesota?
Well, the interesting thing is that unofficially right now, we are in the midst of the seventh wettest June since at least 1895 across the U.S. corn and soybean belt. That includes the major producing states such as Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, and then a few states that touch those as well. So right now we're at the number seven wettest since 1895. All we need is about one more inch of rain across the region through Sunday night, and we'll end up having the wettest June in at least 120 years. So this is very interesting in that there is a correlation between reduced yield potential and excessive rainfall early in the growing season. Now, the final yields on corn and soybeans will still be determined by not only what happens over the next 5 to 6 days, but more so later in July, August, and into September. So this is only one piece of a big puzzle, but we can say with confidence that it's been very wet across a large area, and it stays fairly wet over the next 5 days. If you look at what's happening up in the northern plains and into the northwest corn belt right now, we do have a couple of large systems that linger off to the west. They're starting to produce areas of rain and a few thunderstorms at the moment, and we'll see more of those as we go through the next several days. The best chance for heavy rainfall across Minnesota and Iowa, which includes some of the wettest areas of the corn and soybean belt, holds until Saturday and Sunday, then begin to diminish as we move into next week. Next week does look considerably better as far as rainfall and temperatures go, because we will see a cooler pattern, and it also doesn't look to be nearly as wet, with a favorable period of drying for at least the first 4 to 5 days of July, including the holiday next Friday. Once we get beyond there, it does warm up a bit, and that'll be something to monitor going forward into the middle of July. But at this point, it will be very difficult to develop a large-scale heat wave across the central U.S. There's a couple of reasons for that. The biggest one is that soil profiles are simply too wet at the moment. You have to have dry soils to really get a heat wave going, and that will not be the case for the next several weeks. On top of that, we can just see that the low-level wind flow is going to originate from the tropics as it flows into the central U.S. once we get into the second week of July. And because of that, we would have to forecast thunderstorms, and thunderstorms also cool the atmosphere on top of making it rain. So we just have fairly decent confidence in a seasonable to warm pattern for the second week of July, but with scattered thunderstorms, which is generally not too threatening of a forecast.
As always, very informative. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You have a great afternoon, too. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.